And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming on this 8th day of October. October 8th, 10-8-2020, that's the day, and I do welcome you here, and I thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And been a kind of an outside day here at the Radio Ranch. I think I'll share a couple things with you about that today. And lots going on in the world, lots going on here in the country. Of course, all you hear about is the debates. Had the vice presidential debates last night, and from what little bit I heard reported on, it's very clear at least who spoke the truth and who was calm, cool, and collected. And who was a raving lunatic spouting lies. But that's just how it is. That's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, and that is nothing new either. We'll have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. And got a few current events I'd like to share with you tonight, and some scriptures. I'd like to talk about a biblical concept tonight I'd like to share with you that I think needs to be shared. And but we're going to start out with a word of prayer. I hope that you're praying. I hope you're a praying people. That's what we need always, but that's definitely what we need in this time and day that we are in, when evil abounds. And join me, won't you? Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you and praise you for a beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the health that you give us, for the grace and mercy that you pour out upon your people. Father, I pray for repentance to flow across the land. I pray, O Lord, that your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and save themselves from the wrath to come, your wrath, your righteous indignation that is bubbling over, Lord. We know the pot is full and your righteous indignation is just ready, that you are ready to release it. And Lord, we know that day comes. Father, we know that you save those that are yours when that day of wrath comes. And we pray that, Father, that they could be saved, that they would return to you and not just continue down the path of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vain pride of life. Help them to see beyond that, Lord. Help your people, those that you've called by name, that you have known since before they were formed in their mother's womb, that they would hear your voice and hear your call before it's too late. That's my desire, Lord. That's our desire, the remnant's desire, Lord. We thank you for calling us and for bringing us out of that pit of despair, for bringing us out of darkness and shining your wonderful light on us. We thank you. We are humbled by that, O Lord. And we say, here we are, Lord. Use us. Use us in any way, shape, form, anywhere that will glorify you. That's our desire, Lord, to glorify you, to bring others to your loving grace and mercy, to help save them as you have saved us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Guide and direct my thoughts and words tonight. Let all that is said here from the Radio Ranch microphone and from the pulpit of the LaPorte Church of Christ, Lord, be truth and be honoring to you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to not only believe like the demons, for those demons believe, but help us to trust and obey, to do what is pleasing to you. And that is to repent and to return to you and to practice righteousness and justice once again and to demand justice and to demand righteousness in the land. For that's what this land was formed on. That is our bedrock. And that rock is of Jesus Christ. It is in your glory and honor that I pray this. Amen. And amen. Well, folks, hopefully you know about that. Hopefully you know of that bedrock that this nation was founded on, of Jesus Christ, that it was Christians. Yes, the founding fathers before Washington and Jefferson. Oh, there were many others that came before that taught Washington and Jefferson and Franklin. Their parents and their parents before them. that came and settled this land, that wrote in the Mayflower Compact to the glory of God and to further the Christian faith. That is our bedrock. That is our foundation. To glorify God. And who is God but God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit? That's who God is. That's who God is. And thankfully, in these times that we're in, these times of, well, they're perilous times, they're dangerous times. Just ask those in California that want to go to church. Ask those, where was it, in Ohio? Those outside singing Amazing Grace. Oh, need to buckle you up. You're not practicing socialist distancing. And you may think, well, it's not a real big deal. Well, how about if it was you handcuffed and taken to jail? And it was you that missed work. And it was you that everybody at work found out you got arrested. Oh, that must be a bad guy, bad woman. And then you've got to post bail. Somebody had to come up with $5,000. Could you just write a check for that if that happened to you? Today, would that happen to you? Would you stand up? Would you just say, okay, I'll put my mask on. Okay, we won't gather and sing hymns to God and praise God anymore. We'll just bow and obey so we don't get arrested and have to put that money up and get embarrassed. These are questions we need to be asking ourselves, folks. These things are happening today. They are. And they're happening to Christians. And I don't think we can say, well, not to baptize Christians, they ain't. Well, you know, they may be. They may be. Well, not to Christians that understand like I understand. Well, if you want to take that chance, you just take that chance. But go ahead and decide now. Okay? Make your plans. Make your plans. Well, lots going on again, folks. Phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. And I'm drinking a bottle of water here tonight. We've had a great day at the Radio Ranch. Got to talk to some of the remnant on the phone. And got some of the mail ready. Got a couple more packages going to Canada. That's always good to see. And but working on, we preg checked the cattle. We put a few more head of cattle on, just a few. And had the bulls out with them. Had a neighbor that it was gracious enough to bring a couple bulls by. The 1st of August, so it's time to preg check, so we did. Brother Jason came up, and Jim, who used to work here at the Radio Ranch, been a friend for 19 years, and had my son and daughter out, so we did. We got to move the cattle around, and, well, you know, there's always one, we say, whether it's in cattle or just anything that you're doing. It seems like there's always one that has to buck the system, has to go the other way, has to be a pain in the you-know-what. And we had that today. Actually, we had two. Jumping over gates, trying to get out, busting through fences. You have that. I can't help but think back years ago when Pastor was alive, and we would bring the cattle in, and we'd bring them in. We had quite a few more cattle then. But we'd bring him in on horseback, and I can remember I got a great picture of the pastor out on the pasture, and I think we put it in the newsletter and shared it a time or two. But there's a few cattle, black cows around, and he's just out in the pasture. But on that day, before that picture was made, I was horseback and rounding some cattle off, and just fell right off the horse. It happens. It happens. But it was a great day here at the Radio Ranch. It was. We had good fellowship. We worked outside, fixed some fence. Still got to answer the phone. Got to talk to Brother James back east and several others. And so it was a beautiful day. We've still got a fire. I'd ask you to keep our neighbors in your prayers. We've got a fire just to the west of us, about 160,000 acres now. I think it's burned about 30 homes and 30-plus barns and outbuildings, and it's not calmed down yet. We're still in for the wind. Got more wind coming this weekend. And I can tell you, folks, it's different. You know, we've prayed for those in California facing the fires, and those in Oregon, and the, what, 6 or 8 small towns that were burned over in Oregon that you don't seem to hear much about on the mainstream media. Towns burned over. and Idaho and Utah and other places having massive fires. We've prayed for those people, and we ask you to continue to pray for them as well. When it hits this close to home, it's just different. Maybe it's just more real. I don't know, but it sure is. When it's, you know, when it's your friends that are out there fighting the fire, and maybe people you know whose houses have burned down, it's sure different. I guess it probably shouldn't be, but it is. It is. It's a reminder for me. I hope it's a reminder for you to pray for one another. Don't wait till it hits home to go to God about it. We need to lift up others and be concerned about others. Doing those things is it's contrary to the world. Yeah, the world, many that we see in town and on the road and maybe that we work with, they don't care. It's hooray for me. I got mine. Get yours. And that's what we hear. But that's not how it is to be with us. Remember that. Don't be sucked into that. We have to guard ourselves. Make sure we are praying for one another. Praying for one another. So, I saw this circling around social media and got a couple emails on it. And I think there's a deal going on tomorrow night with some Christians around the country getting together. I think Kirk Cameron's putting it on. But I thought that it's just real simple, three little words, but it makes sense. And I wanted to share it because I think it does make sense. And the three words are think, pray, vote. Okay? Think, pray, vote. Now, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. And this group that's doing this says that they're having some online meeting or something tomorrow night. I don't know what it is. That they're not going to tell you who to vote for. And I'm not either. But I think you do need to vote this year. And it's coming up in November. You do need to vote. But before you vote, you need to pray. You need to think. You need to think. And you need to vote for where your conscience and where your answered prayers direct you to vote. Okay? You just do. You just do. Now, the left and the demon rats, well, they are nothing but lying about our president, for sure. They hate our president. You've seen the hatred that comes out of them. The hatred that they have, the lies that they make up. You know, it's reminiscent, if you read, of the time. Now, I'm not comparing our president to Jesus Christ. I'm just comparing the times and the vehemence. When you go and when you read of those that had Christ and how they hated him, they chided him, they cursed him, they spat upon him. They kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And when Pilate saw, and we read about in Matthew 27, verse 24, when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. You do what you want to with him. And if there was a Pilate today, that's what he would say. And so I want you, when you read this story, again, not comparing Trump, our president, to Jesus Christ, not from a long shot, but just the hatred of the people of him. Okay? Why? Well, you know, he's all but tried to shut down abortion. I think that's one of the main reasons. And you have on the other side, you have the other presidential candidate, Sleepy Joe, saying that if he gets elected, he will make Roe versus Wade the law of the land. And Kamala Harris says the same thing. And so I want you, before you vote, I want you to think and I want you to pray. Now, to me, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but to me, when I think about who stands for the killing of unborn children and who doesn't, well, see, that's enough for me. That right there is enough for me. Because of the power that ungodly Molech worship, abortion, the power that provides the enemy and the devastation that it causes to our people, to God's people. Pro-abortion, pro-life versus pro-choice, that's enough for me. It is. I see the phone line ringing. Let me get over
to it. Hello, is Paul there?
Hey, good evening. No, you're calling into a...
Hi, my name is Becky Spratt.
Oh, you know what? That's one of them callers. Hey, so glad you called. Anyway, one of those robot calls. Nope. Paul's not here, and I don't want to talk to you, Miss Becky. But I want you to do that. I want you to think. I want you to pray. And I want you to vote. I do. We have to do that. Christians have to vote. Because the Antichrist are. Now, I'm not going to get into the voter fraud and all of that. We have to do what we can do. Okay? We have to do what we can do. We can't do more, but we have to do that. And our enemies, at least, if they're elected, it should be no surprise what they do. When they come to take your guns, it should be no surprise, because they can say, well, we told you so. We told you so. We told you what we were going to do. And when they're teaching your kindergartners in the public school system about Billy having two daddies, and they're letting these cross-dressing queer going to hell, going to be in the lake of fire all of eternity if they continue to practice these cross-dressing, you know, reading to your children in kindergarten, the pits of hell are awaiting those people, and all they can take with them. And they'll be more than they are now if the enemy is elected. That's what's coming. And they can say, we told you so. We told you so. And when your churches are closed down because they won't openly embrace these cross-dressing, filthy, faggot homosexuals that cram their filthiness down your throat, these LGBTQ, okay? You will embrace it or we'll shut you down. They've told you so. They've told you so. Okay? They've told you so. So don't be surprised. So sit at home on your couch and think, well, I ain't. Well, Pastor Peters said not to vote. Well, I'm not Pastor Peters. Today is a new day, and I'm encouraging you to vote, to think and to pray and to vote. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to say vote pro-life. Okay? Vote pro-life. And see, it's not just the act of abortion, but it's as the leadership goes, so goes the nation. Read through the Old Testament. All the times. Remember when Israel would have an evil king? Oh, he'd be an evil king and he would do evil in the sight of God. And guess what all the people did? They did evil in the sight of God because they followed the leader, the leader. We're following the leader wherever he may go. Right? That's how it goes. That's how we are, sheep. That's how you are and that's how I am. There's just no getting away from it. We follow the leader as a people. Now, sometimes we wake up to things and don't just follow the leader, and that's usually good. Think about those old Bible stories. When God would raise up a deliverer. When he would raise up a deliverer and they would get rid of the Asherahs and they'd tear down the Baals. What would the people do? They'd stop following the Asherah, the female deity worship. They'd stop following the Baals, and they'd have peace and prosperity and blessings because they were following the leader, the leader. Well, our leader, at least the last 3.5 years, has done more for Christians and more against abortion than I think in the last 50 years in this nation. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. And the ungodly have tried everything to take him down because they hate him, as I said earlier, like they hated Jesus. And they have not succeeded. With the election coming up, that's where you may think it don't make a difference. Well, I think it does. I think it does. I think it's action on your part. And it's action on my part. Now, that's not all we need to be doing. No, we need to be paying attention to school board elections and county commissioner elections and city elections and holding our elected officials accountable for what's going on. It's what we need to be doing. It's the Christian thing to do. It is. It is. Well, folks, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call in, coming to you live this October 8th. If you hear this message any over time, well, you can still call in. We might be here, but we do record these messages, and then we play them out at different times on the shortwave and on the internet, so that maybe people at different times can do that very thing, can hear them, and maybe people that are work might be out later. Well, I'm going to take a drink. I'll be back right after this.
In the cool early morning hours of April 19, 1775, 150 men, mostly farmers and mechanics, drew up in two long, thin ranks, their weapons loaded. They wore no uniforms, but were ready to fight to defend their livelihoods, families, freedom, and honor against an evil, enslaving government. The place was the village of Lexington, Massachusetts, and every one of those men was a practicing Christian, and their pastor, Jonas Clark, himself a farmer, was also their commanding officer. To learn the hidden truth about our patriotic Christian heritage, send a $10 donation and ask for the book Chaplains and Clergy of the American Revolution. Once again, that's Chaplains and Clergy of the American Revolution, available for a $10 offering from Scriptures for America, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
If you don't have that book, Chaplain and Clergy of the Revolution, it's a great read. It's individual stories, sermons, and the like that were preached in this country during the American and leading up to the American Revolution. Well, I can tell you one thing that I don't think was preached in this country leading up to the American Revolution, and that's the rapture. I talked about that. I talked about that Sunday at church, had the opportunity. And I thought I might mention it a little bit tonight just to talk about it. We do not hold to the false theory or doctrine of the rapture, the second secret coming of Christ to rapture away his saints to save them from the tribulation. And then depending on what you believe, 3.5 years, 7 years, whatever it may be, to let everybody duke it out and have problems on earth like have never been seen before, and then he comes back again. Now, there's many aspects of the rapture doctrine that are biblically based when you look through them. There are. When you go through them, and I did that. I pulled this, and I mentioned it. I went and researched, looked at the Moody Bible Institute. They're pretty big Baptist, pretty big on the rapture, and they read through it, and when you look through the scripture verses that they give as references, like Matthew 24, 36, and 37, talking about it's like the days of Noah. Let's take a look at that. We talked in Matthew. We were in Matthew before. It's just a couple pages back. Take a look at Matthew. Matthew 24, 36, and 37. Okay? And I'll get there. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. So guess what? If somebody comes and tells you that they know when that day is coming, well, you can turn to Matthew 24, 26 and say, no, no, you don't. 37, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So who did not understand and have the flood come and take them all away? That's how we read that, right? So who was taken away? And some may say, well, Noah was taken away on the ark. No, the ungodly were taken away. They were taken out. The ungodly were taken out. And when you read about, you keep reading. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. See, there's the rapture. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's the removal of the ungodly. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. That doesn't... When you go and read, we're at in 1 Thessalonians, that we will be caught up with... That is not... It's just not, folks. It's not. Okay? The children were reading this in school today, you know, about the new heavens there in Revelation. That the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, and it does. We have in 2 Peter 3:13, we're told of the new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. And see, why is it a new heaven and a new earth? Because the evil has been taken out. It's not because God's people have been taken out. It's because the ungodly have been taken out. It is. And so this pre-tribulation rapture, the rapture of the saints, that they're taken away. You know, when you know that, you know, it's fixing to hit the fan, well, then you better prepare and you better be ready. Maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually, maybe all. But if you know it's going to hit the fan, but you're not going to be around to have to deal with it, how does that make you feel? What do you do then? What do you do then? You don't have to worry about it. Let's try that phone line again. Hopefully it's not a robot call. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program. And I bet it was. Oh, well, that's all right. We'll just keep talking here. And so, you know, the false rapture doctrine is a neutering doctrine. It neuters the Christian. Makes him a steer instead of a bull. Okay? Now, we've got two bulls out here, and these are easygoing bulls. So, it's we don't have bad bulls. We've got good bulls. But we've got a couple steers, too. And there's a difference. There's a difference between bulls and steers. And let me tell you something, folks. There's a difference between a Christian that knows... Well, let me put it to you this way. There's a difference between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were not going to bow to the ungodly king, who knew that God would deliver them, whether that God could deliver them, whether he did or not, did not matter. But they knew that he would, one way or the other, okay? And so you contrast just that with, you know, the rapture doctrines. They can't even get, you know, it's like the holy name. They can't even get the spelling and the pronunciation of that wahooey, fahooey, yahooey together. Because it's all over the board. It's like that with the rapture doctrine. Some think that the time lapse between the two phases of when Christ comes secretly and raptures his saints off, but leaves the other half there. You know, for the 3.5 years, or is it 7 years? And so when does the rapture happen? Before the tribulation or halfway through it? You know, it's just all over the board. And so, but the central theme of that false rapture theory seems to be that Christ will return to earth two different times. Secretly for his saints, and then visibly with his saints, returning from heaven for the actual second advent. Now, the wedding feast ties in there, okay? Like the parable when Jesus described the kingdom of heaven being like the wedding feast of the wise and the foolish virgins. They were all ready. They were all waiting. They all got drowsy. And when the bridegroom comes, the bridegroom came is what the word says. How about that? I think I talked about that a couple weeks ago. The bridegroom came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that were ready went with him. Those that weren't, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, the rapture doctrine doesn't use those scriptures. Anyway, you know, the I mentioned Sunday, the rapture doctrine, it came about right after the year 1830 in England. You had, I got my notes here. You had middle 1820s in London, England, Edward Irving and John Darby that went through it. Margaret MacDonald was part of it. Schofield got involved with it in the 1800s. And we have a book called The Incredible Schofield. And Schofield was a lying bastard. That's just all there is to it, okay? And there's many today to look at Schofield as like a John Calvin or a John Knox or just, this super great. No, he pushed it and promoted it, but it's only been since that time. And when you look into it, there were lots of dreams and visions that were involved that came about with that. And you know, we're to test the spirits. We're not just to, no matter what it is, we are to test the spirits. But see, when you have a people that aren't discernible, that don't discern right from wrong, good from evil, who when we have a society of mugwumps, with their mug on one side of the fence and their wump on the other, and it's well, and they just throw out there, well, all you gotta do is believe and not worry about what's coming. Don't worry about God's judgment. Just believe. And before his judgment, he's gonna take you out of here. So you don't have to face it anyway. I mean, how much better does it get? Let me just sit on the couch and get fat and happy. First Timothy 4:1 says, the Spirit speaks expressly, and that's the Holy Spirit, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're not talking about these ungodly in the world that hate God, that deny God, these Goliaths of today in their unbelief, in their, you know, these creatures. This is not talking about those creatures of instincts created to be destroyed that the Bible talks about, okay? This is not talking about those that can repent. This is that some shall depart from the faith, meaning some Christians will turn away, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we should exercise caution, especially since we are in these latter times, since we are approaching the end of this age. And we can tell that by the signs around us. The pre-tribulation rapture theory, which is what it is, okay? It is a theory, all right? It really does not have any true scriptural warrant, any backing. The scriptures, they're plain. They tell of the first resurrection when Christians from the past, Christians that have already died, they have their resurrections and are caught up to heaven with Christ, that occurs after the tribulation. Look at Revelations 20. Let's take a look. Revelations 20, verse 5. That's toward the end of the book, folks, and that's where we're getting close to. We are. Revelation 20, verse 5. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. See, it doesn't talk about to be with Christ when he comes and raptures you out. You can't find the word rapture in the Bible. And so the truth is, when this happens, when this... Now, there are persecutions coming. There is a tribulation coming. All the words in Revelation that describe it, from the blood running up to the belly of the horse, and all that's coming. There's no doubt about it. But the Christian, the true follower of Jesus Christ, the one who not only believes but trusts and obeys, the one who practices righteousness, the one who is not perfect but forgiven, the one who dwells, okay? The one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The one who says, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The one who has loved him. The one that has called upon him. Okay? They will be protected from the evils that are coming. The judgments of the great tribulation. By when I pray the Lord's Prayer on, I put on the full armor of God, and I pray for God to wrap me in his mantle of zeal. And he has that mantle, that cape, that covering, that safety that he wraps around his people. And that is what he will do. There is only one second coming of Christ. And that is the moment for all of us that are living and those that have died before us, that are Christians, that we will be changed into immortality, and that the resurrection of the dead takes place. This is when all of us will meet Christ in the clouds. You read about that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And because we know that's where the new Jerusalem comes from, the new heavens and the new earth. Now, can I write it all out for you and just explain it this, that? No, but this is... It ain't the rapture doctrine, okay? You don't have to have rapture practice. Many rapture theorists, they do. They use scripture to explain their belief, but the scriptures are accurate, but not the application that they apply it with. You know, like, and I use this Sunday, love your enemy, right? Didn't Christ tell us to love our enemy? Okay, didn't he? He did. He did. He said, love your enemy. Now, do you think that applied to tell David to love his enemy Goliath? And I try to use that David and Goliath story because people, they kind of understand and remember David and Goliath, that David killed Goliath. He didn't ask him to repent. He didn't share Jesus with Goliath. He sent him back to the pits of hell that he came from. Does that contrast with Jesus saying, love your enemy? No. No, it's the application of the truth. And so I shared a couple of quotes from like the Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs on the rapture. They actually have a page, the R page, page 551, that says rapture, but the word rapture is not in the Bible. And the quotes that they... The quotes that they give are not to support the rapture. Here's one from Irenaeus, circa 180. Okay, and it says, when in the end, and again, this is a quote from a book we carry, the Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs. I believe it's, we'll be glad to send it to you. A donation of maybe, what, $22, $25, that would help cover shipping and the book. But we have it, the Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs. And it is just that. It is quotes of the early church fathers on many different topics. So it is a type of dictionary. And so, regarding the so-called rapture, Irenaeus, again, circa 180, says, when in the end the church will suddenly be caught up from this, it is said, there will be a tribulation such as has not been seen, has not been since the beginning, nor will be. For this is the last contest of the righteous. When they overcome in this contest, they are crowned with incorruption. How about that? Irenaeus didn't say that when the tribulation comes, we're caught up in the clouds to escape it. That's not what he said. He said, this is the last contest of the righteous. And when they overcome in this contest, they are crowned with incorruption. And Tertullian, circa 207, okay? This circa 180, that's 180 after it's 180 A.D., circa 207 A.D. He says, in the crisis of the last moment, and from their instantaneous death, while encountering the oppression of the Antichrist, these persons will also undergo a change. They obtain thereby not so much as a divestiture of the body, that means not so much of a leaving of the body, as a clothing, but as a clothing superimposed upon it with the garment that is from heaven. These persons will put on this heavenly garment over their bodies. Meanwhile, the dead for their part will also recover their bodies. Over their bodies they too have a garment to put on, the incorruption of heaven. Did you hear that? He says, they obtained thereby not so much a divestiture of the body, meaning a new body, but as a clothing superimposed upon them with the garment that is from heaven. What clothing, what garment does that bring to mind to you? Does it remind you of Galatians, where it says, those that have been baptized in Christ are clothed with Christ? That we put on Christ? See, that is that garment from heaven, that clothing superimposed upon our body. For those that are clothed with Christ. And Melito, regarding this as well, and this is the last quote for that, says, yet also will it be at the end time. There will be a flood of fire, and the earth will be burned together with its mountains. Mankind too shall be burned up along with the idols which they have made. But the just will be preserved from his anger. The just will be preserved from his anger. Okay? Do you remember how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were preserved from the fire that burned up those that threw them in? See, they were preserved from God's anger, from that fire. And that's how it will be in the end. Oh, the end's coming. The latter times are coming. Now, whether we are alive here and breathing and kicking, when the heavens split open and Christ comes down to render unto every man according to his deeds, to reward all, to reward the righteous with eternity with him, and to reward the wicked with eternity in the lake of fire, which is the second death. With a flaming sword and his name written on his thigh, riding a white horse, leading the host of heaven. Whether we see that in our lifetime or not, that is coming. And if we die before then, well, when we awaken, we will awaken to that. That's what the Word tells us. Isaiah 43. Oh, I love the words of Isaiah. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, he says, do not fear. And so I tell you, Christian, do not fear. Do not fear the tribulation. Do not fear the heavens ripping open and the trumpet sounding. No, there's a great day coming. And Isaiah said it. He foresaw it. And he said, do not fear. And these are the words of God. He says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, says Jehovah. Says Jesus Christ. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That doesn't end. That didn't end when Isaiah died. That didn't end in the Old Testament. This didn't end in the New Testament. This is for all time. This is for during the Great Tribulation. This promise it is. It is for all time. God says in John 10:28-30, I gave them eternal life. In Psalms 20, verse 1, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. That's for today. That's for the day of tribulation. That's for always. And Psalms 57:1, have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Yes, until the disaster has passed. And if that disaster is the tribulation, so be it. So be it. Because he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. Remnant, I hope you hear this. I hope you accept this blessing. Accept this biblical truth for those that dwell in the shelter. And for those that don't, you need to do that. You need to get into the shelter of the Most High. Because then you will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. You will not be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. And 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you, remnant. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense, the reward of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And he says here, and I'm running out of time, but he says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. You know, that's what Jesus said. It's as simple as that. The two greatest commandments, this is all you got to do. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said when they tried to trick him. Love God. How about that? Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And everything else hinges on that. Folks, that's the best instructions I can give you today. Those are the instructions that Christ gives us. Love God. And for those that love God, guess what? Because he has loved me, he will deliver us. He will. He will. Well, folks, that's all the time I got. God bless. Hey, come back Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be here with a full Wrangler crew, and we'll be glad to take your calls. We'll share some coffee and fellowship and Bible reading, and so we invite you to be here. God bless.
Strengthen the curve. I can do.